I already put the pulpit down beforehand. Well, I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles, your copy of God's Word, to the book of Genesis, verse 47. That can be found on page 51 of the Bibles provided for you. To get a little sense of where we are in the story of Genesis, we'll look back here in the life of Joseph. Thank you. Good son. We're in the life of Joseph, where Joseph had been sold off into slavery, spent many years in jail, being oppressed, being brought low, and yet God raised him up to the highest points in Egypt, to the highest levels. And here Joseph has been now reunited with both his brothers and now his father. And God, in his kindness, is bringing his father before Pharaoh, the great ruler of what was known as the world at that time. So we're going to pick up our reading in verse 7 of chapter 47. And this is the presentation of Jacob before Pharaoh. This is the word of God. Let's pay attention to it. Every word matters. May God give us the power to stand before rulers and speak the truth. Genesis 47, verse 7. Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the days of the years of your life?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not attained the days and the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and his father's household with food according to the number of their dependents. This is the word of God. May he bless it to our hearts. Let's pray now. Father, we pray as we have read your word that it would pierce us to the heart. Lord, that you would give us understanding of what is being said here, that we might stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we may go. It's in Jesus' name we ask all this. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, there's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. You might be asking yourself, how can I be saying that about where we live today? How can there be a famine in the land when economic prosperity is at a high? More jobs were created in July of 2019 than have been in a long time, 164,000 jobs. Our economy is booming. The GDP was up 2.1%. There's plenty of food to eat. None of us have gone without a meal here. The United States has exported more grain and more food to the world than any other nation there is. And despite all this good, pessimism is on the rise in our country, especially among young people. Despair is filling our streets. There's a famine in our land. Depression and suicide are skyrocketing. There appears to be no hope. And our media, our politicians, our education system seems to not have the answer to the problem. So where are people to turn? Where are they to look for the answer? Who will stand up and speak the truth? Well, here in this account in the life of Jacob, we find a man who is old and presumably worn out, standing up and speaking the truth to Pharaoh. And so you, like Jacob, need to be, you must be willing to stand up and speak the truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever the Lord might give you the opportunity to stand, stand for truth. Stand for the truth, which is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, here in this passage, I believe we're asked to commit ourselves to the purpose of our stand. Let's commit ourselves to the purpose of our stand found in verses 7 and 10. See, Jacob was here, and what did he do? He saw his purpose to bless the nations, to bless the nations. Who was Jacob? He was this nomadic shepherd moving around in tents. He had been promised a land through his father by God, and yet he's moving around, and now he finds himself in Egypt. This is definitely not the promised land. And now he's standing before a king. And as we look back at the last verse of chapter 46, it says, what do they think about shepherds in Egypt? For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. So this man was not only traveling, he'd been left from the promised land, he's left the promised land, being forced by famine out of the promised land, but now he stands before a king who looks down upon shepherds. Yet Jacob understood that he had something to offer Pharaoh. It's easy for us to look at our lives and look and stand before kings, think that we don't really have anything to offer them. But the reality is that you and I are part of the household of God. And how much better is it to stand in the house of God than to dwell in the palaces of rulers? We must be ready to forfeit all the luxuries of this earth. We must be ready to be sent out, to be held in contempt and reproached by men. See, we might think that we're ready to stand before presidents, congressmen, important people, and yet we find it difficult, don't we? To even stand in front of our neighbors and our friends and our classmates, our co-workers, and speak the truth. So what does Jacob have to offer Pharaoh? Look at verse 7. It says, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And then in verse 10, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. So you could think that Jacob right here is only offering up some common prayer, some unconcerned salutation. Yet, but I think it's more than that. Remember the story in Genesis where Abraham, as he was about ready to put Isaac on the altar, as he placed him on the altar, God said to him, "You and your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So the promise was that he would be a blessing through his seed, through his line. And this promise was confirmed to Jacob in a dream in Genesis chapter 28. This covenant promise was not only given to Abraham, but it was passed down to Jacob that through his line, through his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. The greater would be blessed by the lesser. See, obviously, in the world's eyes, Jacob was inferior to Pharaoh. But here Jacob understood who he was and what his calling was. A friend of mine runs a ministry where he deals with veterans who have got themselves into trouble, dealing with hard things. And he's approached by some rulers, a congressman. He wanted to see what he was doing, probably with the intent to try to help fund it. But my friend stood before this man, understanding that he didn't want his money because it came with strings. But really what he wanted to do is be a testimony. And he preached this gospel, preached the gospel to this man without question. Right? You could be intimidated by standing before a congressman. But he understood he had something better to offer than money. He had the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Jacob was looking forward to the ultimate seed, that ultimate blessing, our Lord Jesus Christ, that was promised back in the garden, that the blessing of Jacob would be placed upon Pharaoh. Be very easy for Pharaoh to reject him and wave him out. But Jacob stood up and blessed Pharaoh. You are to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. And like Jacob, you are to show honor to kings and princes and congressmen and presidents for their position and pray for them. Remember in Jeremiah, told the people to pray for the leaders and pray for the peace in Babylon as long as they remained in exile, because he knew that peace in Babylon meant peace for the people of God. And Paul, too, instructed Timothy to pray for leaders so there'd be a peace and lead a peaceful life. And you and I are called to be good citizens, productive workers, attentive students. Yes, but we're to be much more. We're to proclaim the blessing, the ultimate blessing. We're to stand tall and proclaim the blessing of Jesus Christ to those around us. We are blessed nations. But how are we to bless them? Well, let's look at the content of our stand, the content of our stand found in verses 8 and 9. Well, here Pharaoh begins with a question. Seems like a simple question. He's asking, how old are you? Not unlike us, Pharaoh took notice of Jacob's age. And it seems pretty natural that you would admire him for his old age and respect him for it. And no doubt, Jacob looked very old. And he says, how old are you? It's much like when we see somebody doing something outside of what we would expect. We're like, man, how old are you? You're still here. It's kind of like when I see Barry York on the basketball court. Can't believe you're still here. No, but it's evidence that in Egypt, life expectancy was very short. And Pharaoh takes notice of his age. And he gives us direct question. But not so much a direct answer from Jacob. On surface level, he could say here in verse 9, says, my sojourning, my days are few, the days are evil. And at surface level, it can seem like he's saying, hey, I'm a pilgrim. I've went from here to there. I've been in the promised land. Now I'm here in Egypt. Few are my days. Well, some of us might challenge the fact that he says he's 130 years and he's saying few are his days. But he didn't reach the age of his grandfather Abraham, who lived to be 175, or his father Isaac, who lived to be 180. So my days are few compared to them, he says. But they've been evil, and that word evil can be really translated, should be more like understanding of difficult. My life has been difficult. And as we look back at the life of Jacob, hasn't it been a difficult one? He had continuous conflict and confronted with many afflictions in his life. He was forced to leave when he was younger by his brother Esau because he was feared for his life. He labored under Laban for 14 years for a wife. He endured hardship. His daughter was abused in Shechem. His son slaughtered the men of Shechem. He buried his beloved wife, Rachel, and he lived through the loss, or his thought was the loss of a son by beasts. Difficult were his days. It could seem like Jacob here is only a man of sorrow. He's down. Or maybe even of a complainer. Maybe he's a complainer. But we must look a little deeper. Is he a woe is me type of man? I'm not in the promised land. I'm nearing death. I didn't even reach the age of my fathers. My life has been extremely difficult. But I don't think that's the case. And really, to get the feel, the understanding of what's being said here, we need to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I invite you to turn with me. So I think it's really important. Hebrews chapter 11, found on page 1284. Hebrews 11, verses 13 and following. In this passage, it's speaking of the men and women who did not experience the land of promise. And it says this, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would not have had the opportunity, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one." It wasn't that Jacob was a complainer. It wasn't that he wished he was back in the promised land, that he realizes his life was difficult and he's complaining. Rather, what he was saying is, this is a testimony of hope. It's precisely the opposite. Here he's declaring his hope in the future. And as it says, he speaks thus clearly. When he says, "I'm a sojourner in the land," he's speaking clearly that his land, his homeland, is not here. It's not in Canaan. It's in a future homeland, a heavenly one, the one promised to me by God. And though difficult was his past, he has a most glorious future awaiting him. And so do you and I. We have a great future awaiting us in heaven. So as we've looked at this passage, we've seen how here Jacob looks forward to the future of Jesus Christ and how he has secured for his people a homeland that will last. We look back to Jesus Christ and we testify that to others, to the world. And before we testify to each other or to others, we need to make sure it's confirmed in our own hearts. We need to make sure that it's laid deep in our hearts, that our homeland is not here, that yes, our days are hard and our life is but a breath, but we have a better homeland. Our faith, as Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Your hope must be rooted in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected and ascended, and He is preparing a place for you in glory. We can't have a firm grasp on the things of this world, because if we do, as the Scripture says, we are to be pitied. But we're to lay hold of that future glory. Grasp onto that. So make it strong, confirm it in your own heart. Secondly, we need to find our place to stand. You need to find your place to stand. Here Jacob was given the opportunity to speak to a great leader. And you and I probably won't get that opportunity, although we should be ready. So you need to find the place in which God is calling you to stand. And your place is distinct. You have people that you know that I don't, that someone else here doesn't know. You need to find your place in which you might stand for the truth of the gospel and declare to people the future glory which is in heaven. Commit yourself today to doing that. Notice how Jacob here approaches the subject. I think there's something to this here. He doesn't go right in and just tell the gospel, talk about the hope, but he does it in a winsome and approachable way. You know, one of the things of being a father, and you as parents have known this, where you've been at sleep at night and one of your children come into your bedroom and they're scared. And if you push it, they're scared of a monster. But really it comes back to the fear of death, doesn't it? In the dark, when we're alone, we're always confronted with the brevity of our life. And so is everyone. Everyone we come into contact. And you see here he says, life is short. Everyone knows that death awaits us. And we need to relate to that, understanding that people need to hear the truth. And we can relate to them in that way. We all know that life is coming to an end. And we all know that life is difficult. Here Jacob gives a reason. He says, my life has been hard. And your life has been hard too. And you see around you, you see people whose lives have been hard, been difficult. They've experienced much tragedy, grief, hardship, loss of work. We need to get down on a level and understand that their lives have been hard. Sometimes being here in church, we can put off this idea that everything in our life is perfect. And people come into our midst or where we're going out in the world and think that our lives are perfect. But here, Jacob recognizes that his life is hard and he relates to Pharaoh. And so too must we. We must relate to people in this way. Understand that life is short and life is hard. With prosperity all around us, we see this prosperity and we can think that everything's just okay. But all we have to do is dig a little bit and to see the famine in our land, that we're in a spiritual wasteland. We need to ask ourselves, why has the Lord placed us here? Why has He placed College Hill RP Church here? Why has He placed you in your place of employment? It's to be a blessing to the nations. And that blessing is rooted in the gospel. And as sojourners in the world, we must stand up and bless the nations in a winsome way for the glory of God. We need to win people with the good news of Jesus Christ and tell them of the hope of the life to come. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would give us the boldness like Jacob, who even in his older years was willing to stand up and tell the truth to Pharaoh. Lord, You've given us this short story for our hearts. And so, Lord, impress upon us this truth. Give us a heart for the world, a heart for people that we know, that we might stand up and tell them of the good news of Jesus Christ. May this be. In Christ we pray. Amen.